An established Michigan environmental organization recently graded the state legislature on its performance in the 2013-2014 session. On its environmental scorecard, the Michigan League of Conservation Voters gave legislators an I, incomplete. In addition to the overall grade, the league rated every Michigan legislator individually after comparing voting records to the organization's stated goals. To learn more about the results and about what state leaders might do to erase that I, current state welcomes the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak. Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
At the top, I want to get your response, though, to the state Senate's action yesterday that would allow wolf hunting in the state to continue. What do you think?
Well, it's a great question. When this issue first emerged, we remained neutral on this issue for a few key reasons. One is that scientific evidence that the species can be managed without threatening the amazing, amazing story that has been the reintroduction and the survival and the growth of the wolf population exists. And number two, the process that has been unfolded around this has been anything but clear and concise. It's been, frankly, quite questionable. Let me be really clear about this, too. I mean, organizationally, we are very supportive of the strong heritage that Michigan has in hunting and fishing. We were a lead organization in the passing of the hunting and fishing license overhaul that took place in this legislative session. And that decision actually puts about 40 new conservation officers on the beat protecting our natural resources. So we were very active in that. Many people on our staff are active hunters or fishermen and women. But it's in the process around this that has been really questionable. And frankly, as I look at the Senate reconvening only once in the month of August and taking this issue up rather than a host of other issues, and the list could be really long, but I will focus on, frankly, the flooding in Detroit as being one of those issues and the fact that much of that is due to our aging infrastructure there and directly linked also to the sewage overflows that go straight into our waterways. I mean, I think it's very questionable that that was the issue that they needed to address yesterday.
Well, let's revisit some of the considerations that led to that incomplete grade. For one, you lament the fact that a key energy standard is expiring next year and there is no plan to replace it. Is renewable energy on the back burner at the state capitol?
Well, you wouldn't think it would be, given the fact that over the course of the last year, there's been this outstanding collaborative effort underway that it's included Republicans and Democrats alike. It's included faith-based organizations, public health groups. We've been very involved in this. And the result of this activity has been public hearings across the state in the spring of 2013, six of them. Then reports that were issued throughout the fall that indicate that, frankly, our state can and should go to a much higher renewable energy standard. The reports from the Public Service Commission and the Energy Office indicate that we could get to 30% by 2035 and increase our energy efficiency standards by quite a large amount. All of that activity actually resulted in the governor making a statement on this issue in December. So you'd think, frankly, that there would be a lot more attention on this matter, notably because, as you pointed out, our current laws sunset in 2015, which are right around the corner and have brought not only success in these two arenas from investment in renewables, but frankly, it's had an impact on the ratepayers and it's created jobs. So unfortunately, the legislature doesn't seem to be looking at all those things and taking action.
We are all Michigan utilities are obligated to create 10% of their electricity through renewable sources beginning next year. There are simply more legislators who are content with that standard than those who aren't.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in this last session, we actually had a very regressive proposal put forth by one legislator to, in fact, roll back the current standard of the 10% goal by 2015. And it wasn't simply and only the public health organizations and the environmental organizations and the organizations that I've listed that said no way to this. But frankly, the utilities also stepped forward and said, you know, this is working for us. We're on everything indicates that we will be completely able to reach that 10% goal by 2015. We've invested in renewables. And in fact, everything says with the dropping costs of wind in particular, that it makes good common sense for us to move the state forward in that direction.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. We're talking about the league's recent environmental scorecard, which gave the Michigan legislature an I for incomplete. Your organization is also pretty vocal on the issue of public land and how much of it the state should have. Right now there's a cap on the amount of public land Michigan can own. What do you feel should happen there and why?
Well, that's also another interesting arena of our focus. As you've pointed out, we've been looking at renewable energy and energy efficiency. We've been looking at public land, and we've also been looking at water protections, notably in a relationship to hydrofracking. But as it pertains to public lands, I mean, there has not only been this arbitrary cap put on the amount of land that the state can own, but frankly, the legislature said that they would go back and remove that cap, which they haven't. The other reason that this issue is of high priority for us is because there's been an unprecedented amount of, frankly, attacks on our public land, attacks that we just have never seen before coming out of our legislature. There have been initiatives put forth to dismantle the very meaning and essence of the Natural Resources Trust Fund and to use those dollars for other purposes. Luckily, none of those have actually been successful, but the public lands protection is one that we find of great importance given the legacy here in the state and, frankly, all of the land conservancies and the land trusts that we find throughout the state that actually represent the communities that they're based in and the incredible value that citizens across the state put in those public lands.
Does this boil down then to a conflict between private ownership and potential development on one side and simply greater acreage assigned to natural space on the other? Is it fair to look at it in that way?
Well, I mean, I think that's the debate that some would like to put forth, but frankly, when we look at the value that we actually have gained through the preservation and protection of these lands, it's directly linked to all of the incredible recreation dollars and the pure Michigan that we so love to promote in this state. And yet the question becomes, are we actually really protecting that in which we're actually marketing and promoting? That dichotomy is something that many like to actually put forth. I actually think it's completely false. I think we can have a robust economy in every part of the state if we actually celebrate and protect those natural resources.
You mentioned fracking just a minute ago. I know that is a significant concern for the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and that figured into this incomplete grade that you just gave the legislature. How exactly? What are your foremost concerns involving hydrofracking?
You know, we have a long history in Michigan of actually fracking and oil and gas exploration. Our fracking here in the state, the vertical fracking, has gone on for over 50 years. And frankly, the laws on our books in the state of Michigan for that vertical fracking are fairly good. What the question on the table really is pertains to the new horizontal fracking that goes far deeper and far wider and utilizes an extraordinary amount of water and, in turn, additional chemicals. The process involves some highly dangerous chemicals, including a number that have been named carcinogens. And so our look at this is about public disclosure, whether or not the public has the right to know what chemicals are being used in this process. And the new rules that the DEQ has put forth and that there were public hearings on through the end of and public input through the end of July basically don't allow for the public to know until after the well is already in process, 30 days after. The other great issue and really important issue, frankly, is the water quality and quantity issues. With millions of gallons of water being used in each well, we've gone from thousands with the vertical fracking to literally millions of gallons with the horizontal. Are our watersheds being protected? Is there an adequate look at the impact of the overall watershed when this water is being pulled from the ground and actually utilized in this fashion, never to be returned? Those are the big questions on the table.
Can horizontal fracturing be done safely? I mean, or are there certain practices that just need to be eliminated?
You know, I think that we can do a lot more to ensure that we put in place strong safeguards for this. There are some that will say, and we are not among them, that this could never be done safely. I think that there are a number of techniques and tactics and key provisions that we need to put into place to ensure that whatever is done here in Michigan to extract the oil and the gas from our natural resources, the minerals here, that we do it well, and we do it with the greatest regard to what Michigan loves to celebrate and should do so, which is that we are the stewards of 20% of the Earth's fresh surface water. It is our obligation to make sure that this is done as safely as we can possibly make it.
Our guest on Current State, Lisa Wozniak, Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. So, Lisa, the legislature got an I. I have to ask, was it closer to passing or closer to failing with that I?
It was a true incomplete. I mean, I don't know if you have kids or nieces and nephews, but I mean, and yourself having gone through school, but if you have not completed your job when you're in school, and you have a number of assignments that have not been turned in, you get an incomplete, and it's your job if you want to actually, finish that class, so you have to go back and complete those things. The three key issues that we've been talking about today, the legislature has not taken up. And some of the things that they have taken up, they've taken up, frankly, poorly. We've seen a rollback to our wetlands laws. We've seen a number of things happen that are not at all in the celebratory category for the legislature, in my estimation. We've seen some things actually introduced on the three priorities we've been discussing. But frankly, there's been inactivity. They've not been able or been allowed to pass out of their various committees. And therefore, the legislature has not been able to vote on these issues on the floors of the House and the Senate. So this is a big problem. And most of Michigan citizens don't understand the logjam that's actually happening in our state capital.
In a video on your website, Lisa, you promote the fact that your organization brings Republicans and Democrats together on environmental policy. But the examples in the video are often more local. They're countywide or they're in townships. How do you take those local examples of bipartisan collaboration and make that work better at the state capitol?
I think it's one step at a time. And I think these issues that we're talking about today have unfortunately become more and more divisive when they ought not be. If we think back to Michigan's long and I think very proud heritage in the arena of conservation, we will all see that it has been a bipartisan history. Governor Milliken took responsibility for dealing with the phosphorus issue during his tenure, something that was a very bold and very important act. The legislature during his time and during the decades surrounding that period of time passed some of the most important pieces of legislation that we've had in our state. We had a remarkable law passed at that time that preserved the 30% of our state's most critical dunes. We passed the Michigan Environmental Protection Act, which was a precursor and a role model in large part for what then became the National Environmental Protection Act. These issues do not need to be and ought not be polarizing or partisan. And so we are working at the local level in many places so that we can actually get some good things done, because unfortunately at the legislative level, we have been able to find some areas in which we can actually find common ground. And when we do, as in with the hunting and fishing licenses that were the overhaul that we passed this last session, we celebrate and we encourage the legislature to continue in that manner. But we often have to go to the local level to actually get some things done. So it's a lot of work, and I think we'll get there, but it's really going to take perseverance.
We're just about out of time. I have to ask you one more example of something else happening environmentally today that you find that you're more encouraged by.
I think I'll go back to some of the local level issues, frankly. In a number of parts of our state, communities are turning what used to be their backs that faced the rivers and their watersheds that run right through some of our major cities and turning to face those rivers. And I'm delighted to say that in Southeast Michigan, whether it's the Detroit River or it's the Huron River, there are amazing initiatives underway to actually celebrate those rivers. And in our second largest city in the state, in Grand Rapids, there's a remarkable conversation taking place about actually renewing and restoring the rapids that the namesake, Grand Rapids, is all mm-hmm. about, mm-hmm. which would provide for business opportunities, recreational opportunities, and frankly, I think a remarkable celebration of a really amazing river that runs through the state.
Great discussion, Lisa. We want to have you back. Lisa Wozniak is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Many thanks.
Thank you very much.